Let's switch from the sublime to the practical here and some of the key issues that oncs want to know about in practice. And first is the question of what's the optimal endocrine therapy in the premenopausal patient, and particularly concerns and questions about patients with multiple positive nodes. We know from our patterns of care studies that there is a segment, both of investigators as well as docs in practice, a minority, 20-30%, who will consider ovarian suppression in the soft text type approach off study with either tamoxifen or an AI. Probably the biggest question, I think, in addition to what to do at 5 years, which is what do you do with a premenopausal patient who ceases menstruation? Most of you will continue out with tamoxifen until 5 years. I didn't ask you what happens then at 5 years, and I would like to find out how you approach that patient who stops menstruating during that 5 years. And finally, the follow-up to the ATLAS study. Should some premenopausal women, this relates to what Ian was saying, particularly those with many positive nodes, right now receive more than 5 years of tamoxifen? And actually, half of you thought yes. I would assume, even though we don't have specific risk-benefit data. What do you think about that, Ian, the possibility of continuing off protocol beyond 5 years, premenopausal patient doing well in tamoxifen, multiple positive nodes?
Well, you've got a published trial that suggests it's deleterious. We've all had a chance to look at it. And there's an underlying rationale why it might be deleterious. And you balance that against a slightly haphazard presentation. No one's had a chance to look at the data properly yet. So I don't think, for all the fact, I suspect once we see the data from ATLAS evolve, and particularly when ATOM comes along, if it shows the same, then I'd change my view. But right now, I don't think there's enough on the table to change practice from where we've been.
Hi, what about the premenopausal patient with an ER-positive tumor who ceases menstruation after chemotherapy, makes it out to 5 years, hasn't had a period in 5 years, chemically postmenopausal? What are you going to do at that point? Or even before then, would you start an AI?
Well, I think we know early on after chemotherapy-induced amenorrhea that Ian's done some studies, but others that about a quarter of the patients in some of the trials have resumed menses, and probably there are others with erratic but high enough estradiol levels that they're not going to benefit from AIs. I would suspect by 5 years, though, it's pretty much a done deal, and you could check them. I don't know, but I might on those patients, depending on their risk categories, especially if they were node-positive patients, stop their tamoxifen, recheck their estradiol, FSH levels. You need a little time if you're going to look at FSH, and consider moving the higher risk patients to an AI. Parenthetically, I'm checking all my patients now on tamoxifen for CYP2D6 because I think that may be something we talk about. I think the worst thing we could possibly do would perhaps give a drug that may not be very efficacious when we have other options, not just in postmenopausal women, but certainly in premenopausal women as well with ovarian suppression. So I would consider those high-risk patients for change to an AI.
Two little points about that. You say out to 5 years, probably all right. That would have been our instinct too, but one of the patients that we studied was 53 and had been amenorrheic for precisely 5 years and started to menstruate again when we started an AI. So I think this whole age group, up to maybe even 55, I think I'm nervous about it, unless you're suppressing the ovaries as well. And the second point is about monitoring estradiol. You really do have to have a very special sensitive assay because you write down at about the 3 picomole level. And if you've got an assay that tells you, yes, you're doing well, you're less than 50 picomoles or whatever, that's actually not enough. Yeah.
I think that's a good point. We've been contracting for some of our trials with people like Dave DeMers and Penn State, who's done a lot of the trials on AIs, because the hospital assays for estradiol are very inaccurate.
My one anecdote of a patient that I saw soon after Ian's paper came out in JCO in March of 2006, I believe, was actually a woman who had been on an aromatase inhibitor. She had chemo-induced amenorrhea, and then she had been on an AI for 4.5 years, and that's when she started menstruating again.
Mm. What about the issue of oophorectomy? I mean, a patient in her 40s who's finished childbearing, concerned about the tumor, why mess around with the serum levels and all this stuff, you know, if she's okay with having her ovaries taken out, Ian?
I agree with that. I think more and more, if nowadays it's usually keyhole surgery, and in the circumstances you describe, to me that's the easiest approach.